you know, I hear the phrase, oh, we're all in this together. Well, that's all well and fine. Come back and talk to me when you've got $300,000 of your own money tied up in your business that is how you make your paycheck. You know, while you're sitting at home drawing your government salary or your big corporate salary, and you're basically doing a Zoom meeting or two a day, and you're getting, for all intents and purposes, a paid vacation, that's a vastly different story than somebody whose livelihood has literally just been closed and now you're making no money.
Hey, welcome to today's podcast where we're going to be talking about why it's important to have a lawyer. That's it. It's an important thing. In my life, I happen to be married to an attorney, but there's lots of reasons that you have an attorney. So welcome back to our podcast. This is my husband, Clay. I'm Alita. That's how we always are. So when we started forming the Funky Monkey, I mean, I love you, but I don't really know what a lawyer does in forms of business. I mean, that was not in my thing. I just thought, oh, I want to have a business. And Clay thought, oh.
Yeah.
So let's start with, why is it important for somebody that's trying to start an independently owned and operated business to have an attorney that they can start with in their business formation and then later on in their everyday business?
Okay. So for business formation, I'm not going to say that you couldn't do it all on your own. I mean, I've had clients come to me before that have done 90% of the work or even have gotten it all done, and maybe they just needed it checked over. But I guess the average person coming into a new business, they're not going to have the expertise or just the research ability to go and learn what all needs to be done. So, I mean, the decisions you make about whether you're going to be a corporation or an LLC, a sole proprietor versus an S corp or a professional limited liability company.
Oh, so, yeah, you're losing me all right. That. What you're saying is there's a lot of things, and we've seen it both ways where people form things correctly and where people form things incorrectly. So formation is the first one, right?
Yeah, and you know, it has tax implications later on. I mean, you know, oh, I don't like the way my taxes are being done. Well, it's all tied to how you started your company, or just all the different boxes that you have to check off: the regulatory licenses, the workforce commission, the unemployment insurance, the IRS. I mean, all these things have to be done correctly. Do you have an EIN? Do you have a sales tax permit? You know, are you collecting sales tax? Are you paying sales tax? So all of these things could get you in a lot of trouble if you go 3 years down the line and you don't have these things set up correctly.
And so do normal business owners, I mean, how would you get it? How do you get that type of, are there attorneys out there that do that type of?
Yeah, I hate to plug the internet, but there are internet services out there that they will form your company for you. Now they're artificial intelligence. Basically, you're filling in blanks, it's spitting out forms,
right?
You're getting about as much real legal advice as you would get from WebMD for a health issue. You're not getting a real doctor looking at your situation. So if you look for a corporate formation lawyer or you look for a general practice lawyer out there, most of them are going to have probably formed their own company at one point. They'll know how to do somebody else's. And it's not all that expensive. You'd be surprised, you know, for $500 or less, you can get somebody to help you form your company. And my favorite saying in the legal business is, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. You know, you come to a lawyer with, oh, I've got big problems because I didn't form my company right. Well, now all of a sudden, you're paying a lawyer $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 to fix something that really would have cost you $500 to have done right in the first place.
So as we got ours formed, right, we've had some legal implications with Harvey. That was kind of the first place that you and I talked about. Oh my gosh, what happens with your contracts? What are things that happens like that in an emergency situation? But I think that probably what our customers are and kind of what we've done the most recently that was out of the norm was, as a retail store, the benefit that I want to talk about, first of all, how many people we talk to, where we're going with that is, why did we stay open and how was that even feasibly possible and how that looked between you and I and our store and the success of that now we're on the other side and where some people are may never open their doors again, Pier 1 style,
right,
may never open their doors again. And we're thriving in after what was a little bit of chaos. So talk to me about that.
So we're talking about coronavirus though, right?
We are.
Right. I mean, that's,
I know. I'm so tired of saying the name of it, but I mean.
Right. But that's, it gives context to why we stayed open.
Correct.
So we're talking when we were, businesses everywhere were forced to shut down. We made the decision to keep our doors open and you know, keep going. And so I did get a lot of text messages, a lot of phone calls from people that you know, people that are in the local Friendswood community business, you know, their local Friendswood business community, asking, do I have to close my doors? What can I do? You know, what are my options? What does this all mean for me? And so I spent a lot of time answering those questions. But for you, you know, for the Funky Monkey, for YFIT and LLC, you sort of already had in-house counsel that, you know, comes free to you. But the thing about the whole coronavirus shutdown and, you know, the government mandating business closing, I think from the very beginning, my interpretation of that was that it just wasn't, I didn't know if it was quite frankly legal. Now, was it logical? Was it, did it make sense? Sure. But it for me, it was like, well, you're taking my business without really compensating me. You're not giving me my day in court. So for us, it was more of a matter of, hey, if we close our doors, financially, we have about 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks where we can float this thing without any revenue. But if we close our doors altogether, we may never reopen. And so for us, we looked at that and said, we've got, between our two offices, we've got 12 employees.
Mm-hmm.
So we're paying, I mean, good wages to 12 people who are, their families are counting on that money. We're both small businesses, so we're counting on the money to come into us. And so for us, it was a no-brainer. And so what we did, maybe, I don't know, we did what everybody else was doing that had a big corporate lawyer. We drafted a letter, wrote a letter that said we were essential. Our employees were essential. We would do what we needed to do to maintain social distancing and to make sure surfaces were clean in the store and protect health and all that good stuff. But we just decided we had a few key products that the community needed. We continued to sell those. I even got so, I guess, creative with my letter that since I have kind of two practices in two counties,
right,
Brazoria County, Galveston County, we just sort of, and the Funky Monkey is in Galveston County, we just sort of moved my law practice, at least that part of it, into the Funky Monkey location. So we made ourselves a law office and a retail store.
Now that we went back and forth on this, there was, I literally about probably 2 weeks in told you, when are you're yeah. gonna tell me when I have to close my store, right? Like if I have to close my store, you're gonna tell, I mean, this is that thing that we're talking about, the importance. Big companies get the benefit of a corporate attorney. Small brick and mortars don't always have the benefit of having an attorney. So at some point I told you in bed, tell me when we're gonna have to close. And what was your response?
I think I told you, I'll let you know, but you know, here's the deal. It's one of those things where you might have to take a ride in a police car, but no, we're not gonna close the store. You know, we'll bail you out of jail and then we'll start back up the next day. It's gonna take more than somebody getting arrested to force us to close our livelihood, basically. It's, you know, I hear the phrase, oh, we're all in this together. Well, that's all well and fine. Come back and talk to me when you've got $300,000 of your own money tied up in your business that is how you make your paycheck. You know, while you're sitting at home drawing your government salary or your big corporate salary, and you're basically doing a Zoom meeting or two a day, and you're getting, for all intents and purposes, a paid vacation, that's a vastly different story than somebody whose livelihood has literally just been closed and now you're making no money.
Zero.
Right. And in our case, we were continuing to pay employees, which we learned, and this is where, again, having a lawyer and a banker, a local bank that you do business with.
Huge. Relationships. Back to again, the business relationships.
Relationships, yeah. When your banker is small enough that they reach out to you and say, and not really in so many words, but don't close your doors.
No, those were the words. I mean, I literally like relationships so much that I texted my banker. and said, are you wanting us to close? Or are you, and her words were at Texan Bank, Christy Conchaba, absolutely not. We do not want you to close, because the ramifications on our community, the ramifications on the tax base, the ramifications on all of those things are things that we took into consideration
Well, and Texas and Bank, I mean, quite frankly, we have a loan with them. So we had a loan thing that we had to make. So they're like, no, please don't, because that has an impact on us. And so, but then we came to learn through them that all these federal programs that were coming into being, a lot of them were tied to you sort of remaining open.
Right. You like had to stay open and pay your people.
If you wanted a payroll protection program, you had to show that you had paid them up until the date of the loan, this amount of money, because that determined how much money you got. So if you had closed down for the month prior to that, well, you couldn't show that you had paid any payroll, so you didn't get any money.
You didn't get any money. So I think that we could talk all day long about the logistics of this, but I think that for me, what I want people to understand is our strip center, we're in a pretty unique area of Friendswood. We're in the middle of downtown Friendswood. I think that one of the most rewarding things out of this, and one of the things that is the reason why you and I are kind of going down this podcast route, is that it showed me that when we do things and when we have to make hard decisions, people look to us and asked us for guidance. And I am happy to say that our strip center is doing very well. I've talked to all of I feel like the mayor of the strip center, but I just have to think about it. But I'm very, very proud of where we went and the decisions that we made. And I think that other small businesses really have to understand the value of using an attorney. If you have questions.
Yeah. I mean, well, it goes, so for me, it kind of demonstrates your, one of your qualities that you don't maybe know you have, is that you have this way of being a leader. And so you are sort of the local business leader. Some, you know, people look up to you. They look to you to what is she doing? You know, modeling, you know, if you will. And so, yeah, for me, that's interesting, but yeah. Because of that, and because they knew I guess they knew us well enough to know that I wasn't going to lead you astray, and you weren't going to do anything that jeopardized your business, they looked to us for answers. And yeah, so we got a lot of questions. And I mean, it helps to have an attorney that you're in a relationship with, not just married,
right,
but that you know, or that you do business with regularly. That's somebody, just like having a plumber, an AC guy, or a mechanic. I mean, you should really have an attorney that you work with all the time, because things like this come up and suddenly you need legal advice, and you can't always depend on your strip center neighbor's husband to answer that question for
right.
you. And so that's an important thing.
Well, I appreciate
thing.
You, babe. And I think that the value of attorneys is underrated, because it for sure has covered me in several different instances where it is probably one of the reasons we are so successful in what we do. What is the best way to get in contact with the law office of John C. Caldwell?
So I tell people all the time, I would love to give everybody my personal cell phone number and answer your text messages, but I run a law office pretty much like a doctor runs a medical practice, which is we have an 8-to-5 office with two people that work there besides me. And so we take phone calls there. We schedule appointments just like you would with a doctor. Mm-hmm. So the best way to get in contact with us is our phone number, 281-248-2111. Mm-hmm. You can also reach us on Facebook. We do answer Facebook messages, the Law Office of John C. Caldwell. We have a website. You go there, you can fill out a questionnaire, answer the questions in there, and submit it. And it comes to us via an email. So when you go to claycaldwell.law, okay. Pretty easy to remember, you can find that questionnaire there, and you can send us your request. Or basically, it's an online consultation system. We call you back. We schedule you a time to come into the office and sit down and talk with me. Thanks for having me on.
No, thanks for coming. And thanks for kind of being the power behind the strength behind my fierceness sometimes.
Like I said, we were going to hang a flag out front that told them, come and take it. So
it really was. Yeah. It was your wife's theory. Yeah. Come and take it. Come and take it. So I appreciate you, babe. And thanks for listening to this podcast. Make sure to share it anywhere that you think it would be a good place. And we'll see you on the next episode. And have a great day. Live happier, because adulting is hard.